everyone, I'm Jacob Rettoni, and this is the FDI Podcast. Welcome to the third episode of Fortress FDI, our mini-series about rising investment scrutiny and protectionism, where we speak to law experts to see how COVID-19 has made foreign investment very sensitive in many different countries around the globe. You can follow us on iTunes, Acast, or Spotify. Please, at this point, subscribe so that you can get more episodes in the future. Last week, we discussed the new guidance on the screening of foreign investment issued by the European Commission. Today, we will dig deeper into how a prominent member of the European Union, Italy, has upgraded accordingly its existing Golden Power legislation. Rome now seems even willing to go as far as asking for investors in strategic assets to keep jobs and research and development activities within the country on the ground of public order and security. Joining the FDI podcast today, we have Massimo Merola, who is the managing partner of the Brussels office of Italian law firm Bonelli Arede. Welcome, Massimo.
Thanks for having me.
Massimo, Italy reformed its FDI screening mechanism in 2012 when the country introduced the so-called Golden Power legislation that basically granted, amongst other things, the government the power to veto certain operations involving foreign vessels.
Yes.
In the past couple of years, we have seen Italian authorities being more assertive in at least reviewing certain operations in sensitive sectors. That legislation has now been updated to incorporate the new guidance issued by the European Union. But before discussing the details of the latest changes, do you want to give us a bit of a feeling of the evolution of the Italian legislation concerning the screening of foreign direct investment or foreign investment operations in the past few years?
You're right, the regulation dates back to 2012, and the foreign investment power screening is called Golden Power in Italy. And the Italian government's special powers refers not only to foreign investment in strategic sectors, but also in some circumstances to domestic investments. There is, since the very beginning, an ex ante review of proposed transactions, which starts with the submission of a notification to the government. And usually it's the buyer that submits that notification. What is important to know is that Italy's Golden Power legislation had already been gradually expanding its reach, even prior to the last emergency situation, so to the last guidelines received by from the European Commission. And this was driven by global trade tensions and a few highly debated foreign investment cases. This expansion of the legislation affected both the sectors covered and the time needed for authorization. When in 2012 this legislation was enacted, it applied to very traditional sectors, defense and national security, energy, transport and telecommunications. Now it covers almost the entire range of sectors, or at least many new sectors after the last changes.
Okay, so what have been how the country has incorporated the new guidance issued by the European Commission in March into its Golden Power legislation?
Yeah, Italy amended its Golden Power legislation immediately after the new FDI guidance was issued. In fact, the guidance was adopted in the 25th of March, and Italy adopted a new decree on 8th of April. But the idea of strengthening a Golden Power legislation was already being discussed within the government and parliament at that time. Now, what the new decree does? The new decree maintains the sectors as before, and specifies that the financial and the health sectors now fall within the Golden Power scope of application.
Okay.
And then also, if you allow me, three new categories were added, which are very broad, as you can see. Security of supply of critical inputs, access to confidential information, including personal data, and the media. So you see, it's a very, very broad update and increase of competencies for the relevant authorities.
So you mentioned that the buyer generally has to notify the government with its intention, its proposed operation. So when such an operation triggers or should trigger an investment review by the government?
Yes, this is fairly complicated because there are many different situations. But basically, with the new rules in force today, at least until the end of this year, the acquisition of shareholdings in any company that holds one or more strategic assets, even in sectors different from defense and national security, so all the sectors covered by the legislation, should be notified ex ante. And the difference is based on whether the EU investor, the buyer is an EU investor or a non-EU investor. You have an important difference there because if it is an EU investor from other member countries, then they should only notify a change of control. The buyer from non-EU investors needs to notify also acquisition of shareholdings falling short of control. So 10%, 15%, 20%, 25%. And each of these changes, so exceeding each of these thresholds, would require a new notification under the current rules. And I repeat, these rules are, for the time being, in force until the end of this year, because they have been adopted to face the emergency due to the COVID-19.
So these are temporary rules, temporary changes from the previous legislation. So it's interesting already, since that Italy, at the beginning, you mentioned that this regulation applies also to domestic investment. And in this particular case, this regulation applies also to other EU members, or at least to investors coming from other EU members, correct?
Yes, correct.
How does this reconcile with the efforts by the European Union to create sort of like a common market? My understanding is the European Union explicitly refers to extra EU investors. So why is Italy here also extending the regulation to other members of the European Union?
Clearly, there is a tension and even a paradox there, I would say, because the European Commission was urging member states to strengthen their golden power, their foreign direct investment screen. But Italy did in a way that included the EU investors to some extent. However, the government pointed out that the COVID-19 outbreak was the justification for this temporary application of the golden power legislation to intra-EU investments in Italian companies. So that should be only the objective of this specific rule, according to the government, is only to prevent acquisitions that would be triggered by the weakness of Italian companies in this very particular period of time.
Okay. So it would prevent like sell-offs of Italian companies at very... a pretty low prices compared just like to 6 months ago, I guess.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so is this new regulation, does it apply also to portfolio investments in the stock markets, for example?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so it really applies across the board. It doesn't matter whether it is a portfolio investment or a direct investment into a private company. I guess that this is an interesting point. I was speaking a couple of weeks ago with an expert in Australia, and they also updated their FDI screening legislation in the past couple of months, but they decided to exclude portfolio investment, although then for any other operation, they zeroed the threshold of the value threshold of the operation that basically triggers an investment review. When it comes to Italy, is there any particular value threshold in absolute terms?
The only threshold you have is for the 10% shareholding. The acquisition of a 10% shareholding should be notified if the transaction is worth more than 1 million euros. So basically all the transactions. And the shareholdings of 15, 20, 25 and 50% should be notified irrespective of the value of the transaction. So regardless of the value, you have to notify.
I see. Very clear. I think that another interesting point made by the European Commission referred to small and medium enterprises and startups. In a way, the European Commission recognized the fact that no matter the size of your company, you may still be a small startup, but developing a very strategic technology. What is the perspective of the Italian legislator on startups?
Well, this, you know, it's not a question of identifying the transactions that should be notified, because when you look at that, when you look at the notification requirement, there is no difference depending on the size of the company or the startup, the fact that it is a startup or the incorporates new technology. But all these aspects become relevant when you go to the assessment of the transaction, of course. And then in that case, clearly the protection of startups with high technology can play a role.
Okay, fantastic. And with regards to the review time, is there any minimum review time that the legislator grants authorities to issue a decision or an opinion on the operation?
Yes, you know, before 2019, the time frame was 15 days from notification, and then it was extended to 45 days. So today, the review period is 45 days from notification, and there is a possibility for the authority to stop the clock just once with a request for information to the notifying company or to third parties.
On a more operational level, so this new regulation was approved in at the beginning of April through a government decree. Have you seen since then a rising number of operations that have been reviewed by Italian authorities?
Yeah, there has been a significant increase in the number of operations notified to the authority. So if you look at the numbers in terms of how many transactions are notified, clearly there is a huge increase when compared to last year. Well, we have a statistics which is not official at all,
right,
but according to our data, we are at more or less the same number of notification in 2020 now at this moment than in the whole 2019. So probably there will be the double of notifications at the end of the year when compared to previous years. This is in terms of number of notifications, but in terms of exercise of special powers by the government, on that, although again we don't have official statistics, what we can say for now is that the percentage of transactions that have conditions imposed on them is roughly the same as in the past. So around 10% of the transactions have received the conditions. So the Italian government imposed the commitments or conditions on the notifying company.
Okay, this is interesting. So the percentage of conditions imposed by the government is the same, roughly 10%. But obviously, I guess in absolute terms, we are talking about twice as much as last year because the number is doubling. What is the nature of the conditions? Or rather, what is the position of the Italian government in the way it handles this golden power? Is it more prone to veto operations, or is it more prone to impose conditions in order to make the acquisition better from the Italian perspective, but eventually happen.
What is clear is that the Italian government is not has no intention to veto transactions. There has been only one transaction block since the beginning of application of the regime. So they go rather for the imposition of commitments or conditions, but only when there are threats of serious harm to the public interest. So they are really not abusing of this power. We cannot say that they are abusing of this power, because they really impose condition on a limited number of transactions. And I am aware, for instance, of some multilateral conversations having taken place between member states, member governments, and the European Commission. And Italy pointed out that they have a lot of notifications, so they have indeed extended the field of application of the legislation. But in terms of the number of transactions with conditions or commitments, this is relatively low.
Okay, it's interesting. I was reading a few weeks ago the case of the acquisition of a biotech company listed on the Italian stock exchange called Molmed by a Japanese investor, and this operation was reviewed by the government. That asked the Japanese investor, amongst other conditions, for the operation to go through, to maintain research and development activities within the country and not to cut jobs. So are these the kind of conditions that we should expect from the government while reviewing these operations?
We have noted that there has been a shift in the kind of conditions imposed. Up to the COVID outbreak, most of them were either monitoring-related conditions, such as the obligation to provide updates to the governments, or conditions relating to the composition or nationality of the management, of the target's management. Now, you are right, we are seeing conditions that go beyond that, that stem from a different rationale that goes beyond the mere security and public policy concerns and include the protection of employment levels, know-how, or market value. It seems that there is indeed a shift, and that the commitments do not only refer to harm to the public interest in terms of technology or control of technology by nationals of the member states, but also the employment levels and this kind of social and economic considerations. So indeed, there is a broadening of the typology of conditions or commitments imposed.
This is a very interesting point, this shift of conditions or this evolution of the conditions imposed by the government. Is this enshrined in the new legislation, or the official narrative is still a narrative of protecting national security, and then on a more operational level we can see that other things like economic security or even like technology sovereignty are being taken into account?
Yes, no, the narrative has not changed, so it's rather a change or a shift in the practical application. This is something that, it is a clear trend. However, I must also say that my perception is that this new approach hasn't limited investors' freedom to the point that some of them have decided to back out of a proposed deal.
Okay,
so it's not that important, that strong, that invasive to prevent a deal to go forward.
Okay, so this leads to my next question. What has been at least, you know, when you relate to your clients, what has been the reaction of Italian businesses and possible interested foreign investors to these new rules?
I have witnessed a very mature behavior and reaction of companies to this change of legislation. FDI screening, including Italy's Golden Power legislation, is viewed by companies and funds as a regulatory authorization, as an additional condition precedent to the completion of the deal. And they simply try to check whether this is necessary, whether they have to foresee the notification in the agreement, in the transaction document. And then, as I said, well, you run it in parallel with merger clearances or other regulatory authorization that you need to have, and it doesn't affect so much, in my experience, the outcome or the execution of the transactions.
When it comes to any other country that is setting up this screening mechanism, often the big elephant in the room is are countries like obviously China, Asian countries in general, but rather maybe we should talk rather to about state-owned investors where that could steer doubts about the real agenda behind their investments. Italy has been, we have seen in the wake of the global financial crisis 10 years ago, Italy has experienced a big wave of Chinese investment.
Yes.
Has experienced a big wave of investments that otherwise in previous year was pretty much unknown, like Indian investment or other Asian investment or investment also from the Emirates. So looking forward, the sensitive issue here is that at some point, maybe already now, there will be a tension between the legislation that tries to protect the economy and the need of many businesses to source new capital and fresh capital also amongst foreign investors. So do you see these tensions happening already at the moment? Or do you expect it to manifest itself at some point in the foreseeable future?
There is some tension in theory, of course, but then in practice, for the time being, it's not that significant on the basis of my experience. Now, clearly, when you look at the future, much depends on what Italy will decide after the end of the transitional period, which is covered by the legislation today. Will this be extended, or we will go back to the normal application of freedoms of establishment and the movement of capital within the European Union as the 1st of January of 2021? This is the big question today.
And it's not only, obviously, Italy dealing with this question, but every European Union member, I guess, has to provide an answer to this question.
Yeah, absolutely. And also take into account that, the political climate has changed in Italy quite significantly in the last months. And today, I would say that there is an effort to streamline administrative procedures and continuing with economic reforms. So in my opinion, Italy is becoming a more friendly environment for foreign investment than before. But we will have to see what happened in 2021, of course.
In 2021, in terms of like economic cycle or political developments?
Well, in both in terms of political developments and in terms of the decisions the government will make regarding the extension of the current rules.
Okay, Massimo, I would say a very last point. So taking everything into account, what is your piece of advice for your clients that are reaching out to you to ask how they should or how they can navigate this ever-evolving regulation on the screening of foreign investment in Italy?
Yes, there is a lot of interest. We receive a lot of questions regarding proposed transactions, even at the very early stages, because clients want to know if they have to envisage at some point in time a notification under the Golden Power rules. Many of these, we do a lot of, let's say, non-billing work just to inform clients that what are the interpretative guidelines and in Italy, to the extent it is possible, because, you know, we are still missing a number of implementing decrees that have never been adopted. So sometimes it can be difficult to provide very appropriate and reliable guidelines to the clients. But we do a lot of this work at very early stages of transactions. And then, of course, we have a good record of notifications to the Golden Power Authority and have established a very good relationship with the officials in charge of the review.
Massimo Merola, a partner with Italian law firm Bonelli Erede. Thank you very much, Massimo, for being with us today.
A great pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. This was the third episode of Fortress FDI, our mini-series about rising investment scrutiny and protectionism in countries around the globe. The next episode will take you to Germany, another European Union member that has been busy fine-tuning its investment screening mechanism to embrace things like tax sovereignty. Please follow us and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Acast, and Spotify, or find us directly on our website, fdiintelligence.com/podcast. As always, until the next time.